This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy, busy show today. Mm-hmm. It's Monday. Mr. Global Matt Randolph going to be joining us at 10:33, he has been on the show before. He is a certified oil and gas expert. He's been working in the oil and gas industry, since he got out of high school.
Yeah.
He has, if you follow him on YouTube, and I highly encourage you to do so, he has a Get to Know Mr. Global video up.
Yes.
It's about 36, 37 minutes.
Yes.
But he explains his journey and how he got to where he is. We're going to talk about that with him a little bit. He did not come from a background of privilege.
No, he came from, and we'll talk more about this, but he came from very humble beginnings.
He did, yep. And had some bad deals.
Yep.
Had some bad deals go down, but persevered. And then we're going to talk about drill, baby, drill, because, the incoming president has said, yep, we're gonna fix everything, Greg Buck, by just drilling more and producing more, and that's going to fix all of our problems. Matt Randolph will be here to address that coming up after the 10:30 news. If you have a question for Matt,
yes,
please email that now. You can send it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. You can also text in a question for Mr. Global, again, at 855-752-4842. Next hour, Beyond the Cheese is back.
Yes!
For 2025, we are going to kick it off. This is a segment where we like to feature businesses in Wisconsin outside of the dairy industry.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many, many of them.
Some of the best industries ever. The best industries.
Of all the industries.
Of all the industries are the best industries.
These are among the best. We have Stephen Aronson, who is with Wisconsin Knitwear.
Mm-hmm.
And they're based in Milwaukee. They've been around for a long time. It was a company that his grandfather started.
Dang!
And they make knit hats. I'm very excited about this. Stephen is going to be coming in to join us in studio after the 11 o'clock news for Beyond the Cheese. And again, if you know someone, if you work with someone, if there is someone in your town who has their own business.
If you are someone with their own business.
Send us. Let us know.
Yeah.
We can feature you on Beyond the Cheese. Again, at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. At 11:30, we'll lighten things up a little bit. I went to dinner with a very good friend over the weekend.
Yeah.
Lovely company.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible food.
Lovely friendship, terrible soup.
Oh, my God. Do you send food back at restaurants?
Yeah.
I am very curious about this. If you get something that is like, yeah, this is not good, I'm sending it back to the kitchen.
I will tell my maybe one story of it.
Excellent.
It's a doozy.
We would love to hear from you after the 11:30 news. Again, do you send food back at restaurants?
Yeah.
And then we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, as we always do. Today, it's the Bombs Away edition.
There we go.
So stick around for that. Wanted to start off, though, with just a couple of updates, especially regarding the California wildfires. Still a nightmare out there. They did have, it looks like, a little break with the winds over the weekend.
Yes.
Unfortunately, those are supposed to start kicking up again over the next couple of days. Not surprisingly, although it is disappointing, the amount of misinformation now that's being spread on social media.
Yes.
Especially Facebook. Because they don't fact check anymore, Greg Buck, because they don't need to.
No, that's fact checking leads to censorship, and censorship is un-American. And why would you want to go to a place where you can find real factual information? Why go there?
Yeah, why do that? Facebook post allegedly claims that people can come to California to join a cleanup crew in areas affected by recent L.A. wildfires. Cal Fire says, no, that's not true. There is no opportunity available. As lovely as that is, that people want to help, and I think that's great, the last thing they need is people showing up from out of state at local firehouses with no experience, saying, I'm here to help.
Well, what even frightens me more is that is it come to California, meet up with us, and that leads to more nefarious things, kidnapping, thing like it just it sounds bad from start to finish.
If you really want to help, redcross.org.
Yep.
You can donate money to redcross.org. Don't forget the Red Cross is largely volunteer. So if this is really something that you would like to do in the future, they have training programs for people.
Yeah.
On how to deal with disasters and how to deal with people who are dealing with disasters.
Yeah.
There's training involved.
I would even say in the next few weeks, and we because this happened during Milton and Helene, if you are a pet lover, a pet owner, of someone who fosters, get in touch with your local shelters and ask them if they have any knowledge of when pets might be coming their way, because that's what happened during Helene and Milton, thank you, is that we had an influx of animals come through because they had to be rehomed. So even if you can help that way, you know, there's ways of helping from home. You don't have to go to California to do good.
Well, and again, I appreciate the sentiment, and I think folks feel trapped, or not trapped, but like stuck.
I
want to do something. Yeah. I want to do something. But again, you don't want to just fly out to California and show up at a fire station and say, I'm here, I'm ready to help.
Yeah.
Contact the Red Cross if you would really like to be a volunteer.
Yeah.
There are other agencies. World Central Kitchen,
yep,
I know, is on the ground now in California. That's a terrific organization that provides meals to people all over the world who are dealing with disasters. And the other easier thing to do that you can do locally is give blood.
You can give blood all the time.
Yep.
Always.
Every 8 weeks, if you're doing just regular blood like me, Greg does the double blood.
I give double blood.
He gives double blood.
I give two times blood. You can have all of my blood, everybody.
But consider that as well, making a donation to Versity. Mm-hmm. They've got locations all over the place.
Yeah.
And it takes about an hour. I just gave last Thursday. It was great. They are so nice.
Yes, they are.
They are so nice. And the woman who was donating next to me, and she got done before I did, we had the longest conversation. I thought she was going to donate again.
8 weeks later.
You might make new friends. So go give blood if you are able. And the one thing that I found out too when I went to donate last week was that young people do not donate typically.
No, it's not something
that's top of mind.
It's not top of mind. It's something that you have to be like, I didn't start donating until one day my friends, and she's younger than me, she said, I'm going to give at State Fair. They're doing a blood drive. Do you want to go with? I said, why not? So we did. And it just became a thing.
And how old were you when that happened?
Oh, my goodness. I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And I was lucky. I don't know if I'd be a donor now if it wasn't for the kid. Because, kids have things going on. And giving blood, and I mean, when I say kids, I mean I'm not like 12-year-olds. I actually don't know how old.
I think you have to be 18.
Yeah, but like it's something you should really get into. It's easy to start doing. It's such a... Over time, you don't even realize how much you've given, and it's such a good feeling to know that you're part of the solution on that problem, because there's always a shortage.
What is the one thing that we always take away when we talk to Colleen from Versity? If every person gave?
If every eligible person gave once a year, just once.
Just once.
There would be no shortages anymore.
So think about that. Consider that if you've never done it. I have given on and off over the years, but you are the one who inspired me to go regularly, so now I'm going every 8 weeks. It's great.
Good.
I want to get a pin.
You want to give blood.
I want to give blood. Okay. I really want to give blood, but I want yes, there are fabulous pins apparently that you can get after you've donated so much. But again, our thoughts with the folks in California. I also want to point out that there are Mexican and Canadian firefighters who are now helping.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Who knew other countries would be so helpful to us? And Yeah.
And a big shout out to the firefighters.
Yep.
And the pilots of those planes.
Oh my gosh, those planes are amazing.
You can find some incredible footage of what they're doing. And these Canadian planes don't even have a bucket where they scoop.
Yeah.
They skim over the water.
Yep.
And apparently suck up 1,000 gallons of water. And it's really remarkable.
Yeah.
Also, just one little tidbit.
Oh boy, that... There's some toot in that tidbit.
Marjorie Taylor Greene launches unhinged call for officials to manipulate the weather to stop the firefighters in the fires in Los Angeles. God. Why don't they use geoengineering like cloud seeding to bring rain down on the wildfires in California? They know how to do it.
Representative Matugan, I will allow you to bring that idea forth if you can explain to me properly what that even means.
Apparently, cloud seeding is a thing in very localized small areas.
Yeah,
I'm gleaning from things I've touched on.
You're gleaning. She couldn't explain anything at all.
Of course not. What about the weather machine? Why aren't the Democrats using the same weather machine that they used to create the hurricanes that hit Western North Carolina?
Why don't we take the Jewish space lasers and uninstall lasers and point like water cannons on there? Like it's like a Lego toy. You pull the space laser off, you attach a hose, and then you just shoot space water at them. Jewish space water.
Such a good idea.
I am full of good ideas today.
You should email her.
I will.
She'll probably jump right on it. In the couple of minutes that we have left, because we don't want to belabor this too much, but the Packers are out.
Yep. And nobody is surprised.
Well, did you see the beginning of the game?
No, I was.
It was not good.
Yeah.
The first play was not good. They lost to the Eagles 22-10 in the wild card playoffs. That means the Packers are done. I'm surprised they got 10.
I think that people were like saying that they can't score. When they got 10, they're like, oh, they can, but this is not going to be there. But let's remember once again, and Pat was talking about this earlier in the morning, a young team. I don't want anyone talking about replacing. I don't want anyone firing.
No.
We are 2 years into a young team with an experienced coach. Let's just have some faith. If the sort of talent that's been shown this season and past season or anything to be thought about, we're going to have something special in the next few years, I think. I truly believe that.
Don't forget, we had decades of suckage.
Yeah.
So a couple years to rebuild with this very young. We can do this. We can do this.
Yeah.
All right. When we return, Brookfield, they need some cash. Hello, Wisconsin legislature. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were just talking about the California fires. Also, if you would like to help out, we were talking about giving blood. Yeah. Easy thing to do. Diversity has locations all over the place. And we are also talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene saying they just cloud seed and dump water on all these wildfires in California. And that will take care of it, or cloud seed. Cassandra on the live stream says it costs billions of dollars to cloud seed. It's usually done in the Middle East, I think. The big oil guys do it. I still think they should use the Democrats' weather machine. I don't know why the Democrats haven't started up that weather machine that apparently caused the hurricanes in Western North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, it's Democrats sitting behind a switch. It's like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Where you see sky, you just pull back the sky, and there are just Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi with a switch going,
yeah, that's not a thing. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Richard Fogarty is the author. Headline reads, Brookfield residents will see a mixed $6 million operating referendum on the April 1st ballot. Brookfield Common Council gave the green light to put this on the ballot. They've sought the property tax increase to take care of major budget gaps that the city of Brookfield is expected to face in the next 5 years. City officials say they need more money to keep the current levels of service across departments as we go forward. Robert Scott is the city of Brookfield's director of finance and administration. He said grant funding for 9 city of Brookfield firefighter and paramedic positions ends in May of this year. The city is forecasting a budget gap of $4 million for 2026. That grows to $7 million by 2029. The referendum also includes language that, if approved, would make permanent the city of Brookfield's authority and ability to levy $6 million annually. Now, if you would talk to some people in our state government, they would say that cities and municipalities get plenty of money from the state.
Yeah, I mean,
they should just be, you know, tighten your belt, guys.
Yeah, we saw a lot of referendums on education, and people like Robin Voss see that as like, well, if the people are raising their own taxes, it's fine. Why should I have to help you?
Right.
So Brookfield, you're, guess what? You're on your own now. And I'm going to guess in one of the most conservative cities, in one of the most conservative counties in America, this is not going to bode well for them.
You think it'll fail?
I don't know. I mean, the fact that the school referendums passed, even though all of them didn't pass.
Not all of them, but a large number of them
but
did.
But like the fact that Milwaukee's passed $272 million, I was surprised by that because that was a lot. In Brookfield, I can see this going down in flames because people are going to say, "Well, I don't want to raise my taxes. I don't want my fees to go up. But then they don't want to lose services too."
Well, exactly. You're willing to give up firefighters then.
Yeah.
Well, you're willing to give up paramedics then. What else are you willing to give up? Because that's what it's going to take. You're talking about a $4 million shortfall just next year.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse.
Yep.
And Robin Voss can't do anything but pat himself on the back for being so magnanimous.
He's so helpful.
With the shared revenue that they finally increased after how many years?
Well, I mean, the shared revenue and, my God, the education he kept on referring to as we gave the biggest education funding increase in a generation. Like, that's not a brag, bro. And the shared revenue, when I worked for the city of Racine, my God, the scrimping, the scraping, the begging for more shared revenue we had to do. And they would just look at us and say,
no,
we don't have to give you anything. You don't vote for us. So therefore we don't have to help you. So Robin Voss giving a teensy bit of more money to people, of course that makes him feel like the God King. He helps you how he can. Other than that, raise your own taxes amongst the people.
Please go ahead.
The Popcorn King has spoken.
Just don't blame me. Don't come back and blame me. I don't want to be responsible for that.
It's the gerrymandered court. What does that mean? I don't know. Yeah, it's.
It will be interesting to see. Again, this is all coming up on the April ballot, which is going to be here really, really quickly.
This referendum measure, I'm going to be watching.
And don't forget, Wisconsin has a $4 billion, $4.5 billion.
$4.5 billion
surplus that the Republicans, Devin Lemieux, has already said that their number one priority is tax cuts.
Tax cuts, they're going to pull all of Evers, how do they phrase it? Basically, all these proposals he has in the budget, they're going to pull them. So it's going to be nothing but tax cuts. And let me guess, it won't really affect me because I'm not rich.
Well, I think they should just call it the Diane Hendricks gift. She's one of the richest women in the country. She needs a tax cut, Greg.
Yeah, I know.
Otherwise, you got to scrimp and I don't know.
You can't get that extra cheese on your Whopper.
It's terrible.
I know. I get it. I get it.
It's tough times.
Tough times,
tough
man.
Times for the ultra wealthy in this country.
Oh, let's have a moment, please. Let's take a moment to just...
Okay, that was long enough.
All right, cool.
We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Matt Randolph is known as Mr. Global. You can follow him on Instagram and on TikTok and primarily on YouTube now.
Yeah,
doing
YouTube
a lot
is where
of stuff
he likes
on
to
YouTube.
Be, yeah.
He is an oil and gas industry expert. And we are going to talk about not only his origin story and how he became Mr. Global, but also what he foresees under a second Trump administration. Donald Trump said he's going to drill, baby, drill once he gets back into office. And that's going to fix all of America's problems.
Done. Let's just pack up, go home.
We'll kick that around coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide. Yes, we are global, baby, on the Civic Media app for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11 o'clock news, we're going to be back with Beyond the Cheese. It's a segment where we feature businesses in Wisconsin outside of the dairy industry. Today, we're going to be talking to Stephen Aronson from Wisconsin Knits. Wisconsin Knit, Caps. Knit
Knitwear.
Caps. Knitwear. Wisconsin Knitwear. They make caps. And we're going to talk to Stephen about it after the 11 o'clock news. He is going to be in studio with us. Really looking forward to that. Right now, though, it's Monday, and he is back after the new year. Matt Randolph is here, also known as Mr. Global. Good morning, Matt. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jane and everyone. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Doing well.
Thanks so much for joining us. We wanted to start off, Matt, with you have a little getting to know you video now on YouTube. Which I think
which I think is,
Greg and I both watched it and think it's fantastic. And what I think is really important for folks to understand is that you did not come from a background of privilege. You had some bad deals along the way as you were getting into this industry. And ultimately, though, you stuck with it. You went to school. And you became an oil and gas industry expert, which is a thing.
Yeah.
Gavin, do we have
do we have that clip
from Mr. Global? This is from Mr. Global's Getting to Know You video. Take a listen.
We wrote the latest version for, you know, all the standards for hydraulic fracturing. We revised and rewrote the pressure control manual. We updated and rewrote the well operations manual, all the global standards. And when I completed that with my teammates, I received a formal nomination to be formally appointed as an expert, a subject matter expert in hydraulic fracturing and well site operations. When you receive that formal nomination, what happens is it goes before a board of experts that have very high technical authority, the highest technical authority you can have. And they basically look at your life's work. They look at everything you've done in your career and where you're at today, and they basically decide if you get it or not. And I got it. So 2019, I became a formally recognized oil and gas expert.
Congratulations on that, Matt Randolph. Seriously, that sounds like quite an accomplishment, and it's not something that everybody gets.
That is correct. It's tough to get, yeah.
Now, this happened as you were working for Shell?
Yes.
And also in your origin story, again, you talk about some of the deals that you had made before you ultimately ended up working at Shell. I would think for some of the folks that you worked with before, knowing that you got this recognition, that's got to annoy them.
Yeah, it certainly does. It certainly
does. Can you send this certification to all of the people that I don't work with anymore? Can you send embossed letters to them? Thank you.
You know, I was sitting in my truck one day and I was fixing it. I had something I needed to do, and it just dawned on me, like, people don't know, like, where I started and how I got to where I am, because it's not like a typical story. Everybody I know personally in this industry that holds a title that I hold are legacy people. And what that means is their parents were like executives of big oil companies. And so as legacy, they got a free pass to go into the university their parents attended. They got a free pass to join the company their parents worked for. They got, their whole career was planned with their company that their parents worked at. So the oil and gas industry has that legacy thing, just like colleges and universities do.
Yep.
And a lot of the people that kind of reach the high levels are really legacy people that are brought from the beginning, and they're always planned to end up where they end up. There's not a lot of people like me in the industry that literally have to start at the bottom and work their way to that point. It's not very common at all.
Matt, do you think for those folks who are at, you know, like the executive level now in oil companies, did those guys work on rigs like you did?
No. None of them that I know. No, I don't know a single. As a matter of fact, most of the oil and gas experts I know have never worked in the oil and gas industry at all. Most of them are journalists who reported on it for so long that they just kind of became an expert they're not recognized by the industry. They're recognized by the media and by the public, but they're not industry recognized. The other ones are like analysts, like, you know, people that sit around and look at data all day. But there's not a lot of industry expert. I mean, there are a lot of industry experts that came the way I did. They're just not formally recognized. You know, they don't ever get those credentials from the industry. So it's not that they don't exist. It's just that they're not recognized.
That must make you crazy.
Well, it makes them crazy because I'm doing something with my recognition. Most people that get it don't do anything with it. They don't use it to benefit the public or themselves in any way. And so I decided to do something with mine. Like, if I'm going to receive this title, then I'm going to use this somehow. Like, I'm not just going to put it on the shelf to show to my grandkids.
Here's
someday.
My plaque. That's, yeah.
Yeah. It should be more than that. You worked for it. You should do something with it is the way I look at it. So.
And that's one of the things I noticed when I watched the video was that, you know, we'll see videos of people who are like, well, I left this industry and I'm going to tell you about it. You were still working for Shell when you were talking about these aspects. And you say in the video, they weren't a fan of that.
No, not at all. They were looking for a reason. And the thing was, I was never a fit for that type of like corporate structure of big oil. Because corporation, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Like it's just, there's no freedom. Like, and they don't value you. There's no freedom to express yourself. Like, it's not a healthy way to live is working for big corporations. It's just not.
Well, so, and you just, You don't seem like enough of a game player to me.
That's the perfect statement, because my whole time at Shell, they kept telling me, you got to learn how to play the game. And I'm like, I'm not here to play a game.
What's like, the game?
Yeah. You know, it's the game of Survivor. Yeah. That's literally, because when you work at a corporation with a lot of people who are extremely talented and you're all competing with each other, what that means is all those people are also trying to sabotage everyone else. Yeah. There's like alliances being formed, and it's like, it is crazy. We had people that were like recording private conversations and turning them, you know, people would walk into my office and record conversations with me, and other people too. And all those people that did that stuff got let go, because, you know, that's not cool. But it is so competitive that people go to the worst. They become the worst person they can be, but out of the competitiveness that's kind of born from that.
If you're just joining us, Matt Randolph is our guest. He is known as Mr. Global. He is an oil and gas industry expert. I highly encourage you to subscribe and follow him. He breaks down how things work. He's got graphs. He's got charts. He has the expertise. He has enough facts to annoy everyone on all sides, which is one of the reasons why we like having him.
And he makes you laugh, too. That's an important thing. I feel like oil and gas can be an extremely dry topic, and you make it very interesting to listen to. I was very excited to come across the origin story video, because I was like, you were right. Like, you're just sitting there, and it just seems like you pulled over and you said, I'm going to tell my story real quick, and then I could get back to work. But it was just very cool to watch. And I love the videos you're putting on YouTube, especially now, a little longer and a little more informative, but it's, yeah, we love having you here. You're great.
Well, if you have questions about how gas prices work, about energy prices, about how much we produce, I highly, again, encourage you to follow Mr. Global on all of the social media platforms. But, Matt, we have the second Trump administration going to be sworn in a week from today. And, again, he has promised, we're going to drill, baby, drill, and we're going to offshore drill, and we're going to do all the drilling, and then that is going to fix all of our problems. I found an article that says essentially the fact that the U.S. is already the world's biggest oil producer and biggest gas exporter is going to make all of Trump's goals very hard to achieve.
Yeah, and basically, you know, people are seeing now what I've been saying all along for the last couple of years is we're not going to drill, baby, drill. That's not a thing. That's a slogan that Sarah Palin came up with, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, whenever it was. Because we're not at max capacity, but I mean, we're the number one producer of everything when it comes to energy. We're the number one producer of oil, natural gas. We're the number one exporter of natural gas. And in addition to that, with technology, we don't need to drill like we did back in the old days. Like, we can produce more with a lot less stuff now. That's just, you know, so I said in one video, he should have said, you know, maybe produce, baby, produce, because drill, baby, drill is not a thing. Like, you know, one rig can do what 20 rigs used to do, but we're never going to have this rig counts and stuff that they focus on, that we're never going to see that again, you know?
Well, and the other thing that he has claimed is that we're going to reduce energy prices. Everybody's energy costs are going to go down and consumers will save so much money, but that will have a very detrimental effect on the gas and oil industry, correct?
Well, the real difficulty in reducing energy prices, you know, it was the Republican Party who was going to shut down the government in 2015 if we didn't lift the export ban. If we didn't, you know, because we had a 40-year export ban in place where we couldn't export oil, natural gas, and these things. Every single bit of the increases in oil production in the United States since the day we lifted that export ban is all being exported. So we're basically producing about 4.5 million barrels a day more than we were when we lifted the ban, and we're exporting 4.5 million barrels a day. So every single thing we have increased is going out of the country. And that is not conducive to lowering prices at home when everything's getting sent overseas. Does that make sense? Like, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Well, and oil companies aren't going to take on something that is going to decrease their profits.
No, no, they're not. And if you look at the price of gasoline adjusted for inflation, I mean, even at $3 right now, everyone gets sticker shock at $3. We were paying more for that, more than that, like 20 years ago, adjusted for inflation. Not even adjusted for inflation, we were paying more for that in 2012.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is 2024. It's not 1994. Things cost more, you know. And so there is, you know, some room there for gas prices to come down. There's, you know, I've tried to have a trigger laws implemented through Congress that reduces exports as prices rise. There's things, simple things we can do that will help the consumer and bring down costs. But this notion that gas prices are just are so high nobody can afford to drive, is it's not a function of gas prices. It's a function of low wages in the United States, as far as I'm concerned. So, but that's a whole nother topic.
Well, you know, Matt, we don't have time for your liberal agenda.
Oh, yeah.
and your super crispy communist manifesto. Like, that's what it always comes back to. It always comes back to those little aspects of, like, you know, hey, if we just paid people a little bit more, they could afford a lot. Yeah, I would love for gas to be like $2.50. Stay there. I gotta, you know, but like $3, that's also not, I've paid way more for that. And it's just the world we live in. And yeah, but you start talking about better wages. Oh my gosh, you want to talk about getting triggered. My goodness.
We'll continue talking to Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, on the other side. We have a question come in, and we also want to talk about that new Billy Bob Thornton TV show that Greg is all excited about.
Either you love it or hate it,
and
I feel like,
your
Matt.
Take on it next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord on the Board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest right now, Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. I highly encourage you to subscribe and follow him. He's on all the socials, on Instagram, on YouTube in particular. That seems, Matt, where you're devoting a lot more of your time. But if you have questions about how the oil and gas industry works, I've learned so much from you. And I see that, Matt, on all the comments on your videos, too, because you break it down in ways that's very understandable. Mm-hmm. And you have the charts behind you, and you can say, look, this is what happened at this point in time.
Or, look, this guy is an idiot. There you go.
And if you're ever going to challenge Mr. Global, I highly encourage you to have all your facts, because that's some of my favorite stuff, Matt. When you go, yeah, that's not a thing.
I say that a lot.
You do. With people who are coming at you, they're so sure that they're right. And they're not. They're not right. We do have a question on the text line here from Steve from Milwaukee. What is Mr. Global's take on sustainable energy? Which sources do you prefer?
So the thing about sustainable energy, it's not so much about which sources we prefer, it's how we're using each source. And so that's one of my issues. You know, the thing we're doing with renewable energy is we're just like installing it everywhere. But, you know, there, wind is better in some places, solar is better in some places. And one of the things we're not doing, in my opinion, is looking at, okay, what is this city going to look like 30 years from now? Like, I don't think we're factoring in population growth, you know, industrial based growth and things like that, because it's not, you know, we spent decades studying climate change using, you know, science, and you know, we're not using science to install the renewable energy. It's just, here's tax credits, here's money, let's go put it up. And it's going to come back in the future, and we're going to have to spend a lot more money than we are to fix things, because we're not planning for the future. It's like we're planning for today. You know, if you look at a city that's going to double in size in the next 30 years, you know, a small mid-sized city that's going to have a lot of population growth and a lot of industrial base growth. And it's really about the industrial base, because that's where most of your electricity is consumed. And in areas where we're getting a ton of, like, you know, manufacturing and industrial growth, we're installing energy that can't sustain it. Does that make sense? So we're relying more, we're installing sustainable energy, yet still relying more on fossil fuels in those areas, because what they're installing can't handle the growth in the manufacturing base. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I've been a little bit critical of wind energy, but it's not because of wind energy, it's how they're using it and how they're installing it. Wind energy works great in some places, and it's terrible in others. And we're putting it in places where it's terrible, right? So it's more like how we're utilizing it than the energy itself, if that makes any sense.
It does. And it also, again, I think it's not everyone in the oil and gas industry is completely against other forms of energy, right? That's not unusual.
You know, a lot of people over the years, they've been very fearful of it, because they think it's, you know, they've always thought it's going to cost them their jobs. And I've told them, for 20 years, I've said, it's not renewable energy that's going to cost you your job. It's efficiency and technology. You know, when this project used to take 20 people, there's going to be a day where like two or three people can do it. That's what's going to cost you your job. It's not those wind turbines. It's not those solar panels. It's energy and efficiency and technology in the industry we're currently in is what's going to cost you your job. And they're starting to realize that that is the truth. It's not renewables. It's advances in technology that's costing people jobs.
And I think that that's going to be the case, not just for the oil and gas industry. It's going to be the technological advances and the AI advances are what unfortunately is going to start keep making us obsolete.
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
I just want to ask you this very quickly, but we did get a question in with regard to it. So there's that show Landman that I love with Billy Bob Thornton, and they say on there, and Tony on the live stream brings it up, they said that the price per barrel, they say on the show, should be between $76 and $88 a barrel. That's the sweet spot. Is that, one, is that true? And two, how much does that show just romanticize your industry beyond, like, for you? Can you watch that show?
I can watch it. It drove me crazy at first because it's so inaccurate as far as how things actually work in the industry. Like, there's not a person that does what Billy Bob Thornton does in that show. what a landman does is he sits in an office, he or she sits in an office and looks at like contracts and land deeds. Like, they don't go to the field. So Billy Bob Thornton doesn't do anything. If anything, Billy Bob Thornton is closer to me than a landman. Like, so that's like, you know, but it is very romanticized. As far as the pricing and stuff, that changes with, you know, my company has a very low break-even point. Other companies have much higher break-even points. So that's not what they, you know, I remember that episode. It could be the break-even point for that company, but it's lower across the industry. It's more like $40, $50 a barrel.
Subscribe to Mr. Global on all the socials. He is Matt Randolph, also known as Mr. Global. Real quickly, how are the chickens? Are they still alive?
Yes.
The chickens are alive. Excellent. We will stay in touch. Thank you so much, Matt. Really, really appreciate it. We got news coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.